Helpful snowman. One of my favorite, not my favorite things to do, but something I end up just doing a lot in my brain is I sing a song, but I replace basically the entirety of the song with like one lyric. So, you know, instead of my neck, my back, etc., it's just my butt. Or you can find me in the club. I really like clubs. My mom, meet me in the club if you'd like to go to clubs. I'm into hitting clubs. I ain't into hitting clubs. So come out to the club if you want to go to clubs. You know, something like that. That's just that's a little insight into me. Welcome. I just dropped off to listeners / relatives / Patreon donors at the airport. That's right. Do other podcasters drop off their Patreon donors at the airport? I think not. I don't think that's an offered service tier. Most of them are like, bonus episode. And I'm like, how about I'll take you to the fucking airport? How about that? Curbside. You know what I think is funny at the airport, too, is like from the drop-off side is the curbside check-in, where it's like, okay, so instead of going indoors, where it's like the weather's pleasant and there's not like cars honking and like exhaust fumes, it's like, instead of doing that, you could be outside with all of those things. And what a convenience for everybody. I don't really understand what the purpose of that is, I guess. Not totally sure. I wondered, when I was in Seattle, you know, I was in the arrival situation and Poon Master Flex was picking me up. Then I did wonder, like, how long could you stretch out to, because, you know, you're not allowed to wait at the arrival. Like, basically, you're supposed to pull up to the arrival, like, pull up to the person who is standing on the curb waiting for you. And I wondered, like, how long can you stretch out what appears to be, you know, to an outside observer to be a, I'm not waiting, my person is here. How long can you stretch that out? I think it is proportional to, like, your age. So, for example, if I'm, like, a super old man, and I'm, like, parking and whatever, I think you could do it. And also, if I'm waiting on a super old man, and it's like he's hobbling out of the airport, I mean, anyone who was feeling angry at me for being waiting, quote unquote, it would be like, well, I thought he was pretty close, and he was, distance-wise, but he was not very close in terms of time, unfortunately. Anyway, it's like, I did see a guy, like, really stretching it out. And, you know, of course that's, like, a pet peeve of mine because other people's behavior bothers me that way. Like, it's like the people I see who they're driving in front of a Target and they drop the person they're with off. And I see the person get out of the car and they don't appear enfeebled or whatever. I'm like, I don't know, it's like a 30-year-old lady that they just dropped off. And it's like, you held up the whole production here for that. I mean, she seems fine. I think she, you know, God forbid your spouse or your loved one walk from the car into the Target. I mean, God forbid that happens. And it's not like the person when they're getting out never seems in a particular hurry. That would help too. That would remedy a lot of my ill will if I felt like the person getting out of the car was like, slams the door and goes running in, because I'm like, oh, they probably need a prescription for their medicine. Whatever those nitro pills are that, like, an old mafia guy takes in a movie so he doesn't die. Right? And it's like, one second he's having a heart attack, and then he takes a pill and he's fine. I wish there was, like, I wish that, that's how I want all medicine to work, is like those pills in shows and movies when the person's having a heart attack. Because it's like, they are at death's door, and then instant relief. Instant 100% relief. That's amazing. That's what life should be like. That's what medical science should have provided us by now, in Peter's opinion. pills. We were talking about like an eating contest, so I was exposed to the television show Workaholics, and there was an episode where they were, you know, trying to get stoned so they could win a pizza eating contest. Still to this day, one of the many things that I am angry about with marijuana is that it didn't give me the munchies. I was so excited to have the munchies, and I was like, no, I didn't feel it at all. Okay. Declaring here, people from Utah don't know how to drive, just in case you're curious. If I have a bias against the state's drivers, it's Utah. And also Colorado. If this lady... Sorry, that was a long silence. If this lady in front of me was, like, leaving a really large gap between me and the car, or between her and the car in front of her, which is fine, except for I was trying to get in behind her. And it was like, if she just went a little further, that would have been a lot smoother. So they were trying to do this, and I was trying to remember, like, it seemed like this was a big thing back in the day, was like the eating contest of come to this restaurant, eat our novelty giant pizza slash hot dog slash steak slash whatever, and you and two friends, or you and whatever, you alone, finish this thing, and you get it for free. Which was always... kind of funny to me, because it's like you get it for free, but I mean, what do you really get from that? I mean, would you rather have this horrible sort of torturous experience? Like, have you ever tried to eat a lot more than you really wanted to? It's not fun. It's awful. You feel awful, and you feel awful for like several hours. It's very torturous. Like, if there was some way to torture people, you know, for information, that instead of waterboarding, you were, like, foodboarding them and just making them eat a lot, I think that'd be pretty effective. Like, you just, it feels horrible. And so, like, you got for free that experience. Wow. I had to sneeze that time. That was a planned... absence from the microphone, sort of. But yeah, you just feel like shit. And it's like, wow, I got that for... I mean, shouldn't they give you something more? But I'm guessing most places don't really want people to win that contest. They just want, like... I don't know, it's just funny to have, like, a picture of a bunch of dudes around a table with, like, half a pizza still there. Maybe, too, it's like the world of competitive eating has gotten too competitive. And so there's, like, amateurs out there who it's just, like, maybe every city has its Kobayashi, and he just comes in and fucking, he could throw down any size pizza. And they're like, I mean, he doesn't even really need the other two guys. I thought it was funny, too, they always have, like, a time limit that seemed a little extra punishing. I mean, I could see having a time limit where it's like, well, obviously we can't let you do this to where you get hungry again and stuff. But I mean, if it was like 2 hours, that seems like long enough. But when, you know, it's short, it's like sometimes like 30 minutes. And you're like, this is like having a time limit in the game Ghosts and Goblins where it's so hard. And you're like, did you really have to put a fucking timer on top of this? Like, this is already very difficult. And although I don't die because of the time often, it's enough of a nuisance that it's concerning. And when the time kills you in a game like that, too, it always kills you and you die and you're just like, what the fuck just happened? And then you're like, oh my god, time. I forgot that time was a thing, that this game happens in the fourth dimension. Dun-dun-dun-dun. But yeah, I wonder if those have just gone out of style. Or I do wonder if maybe I'm just not on the lookout for it. Because I think as a kid, that was like an intriguing prospect to me. Even though I didn't, you know, I think that was like one of those things that I always thought, like, someday I'll be in college and I'll have buddies and we'll come to Bojo's and eat the giant pizza challenge pizza. And then there'll be a picture of us, but we'll succeed because, you know, because we will. Because you just think you'll succeed because you're a kid and you're dumb. So dumb that you think you're going to be successful. What an idiot. But yeah, I don't know. I wonder if I just don't notice them anymore because, like, it's not an appealing prospect to me. And also, I'm financially comfortable enough now that it's like a steakhouse. It's like, do you want to try our 40-ounce challenge steak? And I am much more apt to be like, oh, no, I will pay $24 and just eat the regular steak. Thank you. We went to this restaurant last night in the Denvers that had I was debating between a couple different things to have for dinner. And one of the things on the menu was chicken and waffles. And I was like, actually sounds kind of good right now. It was the second most expensive thing on the menu. It was like $24, and a steak was like $26. And I was like, well, there's no way I'm buying a $24 chicken and waffles. I mean, I might as well, if I'm doing that, I'll just get the $26 steak. But I looked at the $26 steak and was like, I don't know, that seems like a lot to pay for a steak at this time. I'd had a few drinks, so it was not going to be enjoyed the way it should have been. So, you know, I turned away from the steak and then was looking at the chicken and waffles and then was like, $24? That seems outrageous. Like, what is in that that makes that worth that much? They're like two of the cheapest foods put together, and somehow that comes up to $24. I mean, if it was waffles and it was $12, I think I'd be like, what the fuck? How many waffles is this? Is this like a novelty-sized stack of waffles that I have to try and eat down from? Is this a food contest? Is the chicken and waffles a contest? And you just don't tell people. You have this asinine price, but then they eat the whole thing, and you're like, congratulations, buddy. Guess who just got their chicken and waffles for free? Maybe it looks like a little gauche or something to have eating contests these days. Like it's sort of a, you know, there's hungry people in the world or something. Which is, I don't know. It's sort of, that's such like a tricky argument for me. The like, there's hungry people in the world. Because it's like, yeah, there's hungry people in the world right now that I'm not doing anything to help through this pod. I mean, is me being on this podcast, driving home from the airport, helping hungry people at all? Probably not. Probably not. So I don't know. I should be growing soybeans or something. We were talking the other day about, I was talking about this, I saw this post someone put up on the Facebooks that was like, I guess it was from a Christian-y magazine or something online, and it basically said, like, men prefer to marry women who are untattooed, virgins, and without debt. And I thought it was kind of funny, because it seemed like three really different sort of things in a way. I mean, okay, the virgin thing, I was like, I get that. But I was like, well, this sounds like a Christian-y type poll, because I don't know that I would prefer to marry. I don't know that I would even prefer to marry and or sleep with or whatever a virgin. Like, I find that whole thing to be weird and gross. And maybe it's just because, you know, when you're in your 30s and you meet someone who's of appropriate age for you to sleep with and they're a virgin, you're a little bit like, I don't think I'm up to that pressure. I don't think I'm up to the standard of like, okay, not only is this your first time, so that means something, but you've waited quite a while. I don't think this is going to be what you're hoping for. I have bad news for you. I'm like kind of on the downward slide. I mean, would have been nice if we'd met not when I was 19, maybe like, 29, something like that. If you caught me 5 or 6 years earlier, we could have really made this work. But I'm not so sure now. But maybe there's not much. I mean, maybe there's not much pressure to live up to, because what's to compare to at that point? I guess it's a matter of how vivid their fantasy life has been up to that point, and what they're hoping for. Because I don't think it's going to work out for them. Because I just feel like it would be, you know, all right, let's light a bunch of candles. Let's have, like, some slow saxophone music going. Shouldn't this take more than like 1 minute? You know, things like that. All these things they've heard that I'm like, that's just propaganda. 45 seconds is the correct amount of time, is the objectively proven correct amount of time for an encounter to last. Encounter. I'm such a romantic. That's my problem. I call it an encounter. That's like what you call it when you run into a bear out in the woods, an encounter. And I'm like, or when you sleep with a nice lady that you like a lot. Boy, I like her a whole lot. I hope we have an encounter. But yeah, so, you know, that first one of the three, the virgin thing, I was like, well, maybe if you're surveying real Christian-y men who are, you know, in their early 20s or something, I guess. But me personally, no. I would be nervous about it. Now, it's not a deal breaker if it was the opposite, if they were a virgin. I'm not like, no way. But it's not a deal maker either. I mean, it's much closer to being a deal breaker if they're a virgin than being a deal maker for me. And I think most dudes around my age probably feel the same way. I mean, if I was dating somebody around my age, I assume that they're not a virgin. I would assume that. And if I found out they were, I would be surprised. I don't know if I'd go so far as unpleasantly surprised, but I would just be like, huh, that's unexpected. So that there's that one. The tattooed one, untattooed. I was pretty neutral on that one because I kind of felt that one I felt like was the most. I don't really think that having tattoos says much about a person in terms of like whether or not they have a tattoo. So if a woman has a tattoo or not, I think that the time when that meant they were a certain kind of person is long gone. If I'm honest, I don't know. I mean, if I could choose between if it was no tattoos or completely covered in tattoos like that snake man who was like, I'm going to cover my body in tattoos to look like a snake. And I was kind of like, isn't it weirder that you're just completely head to toe covered in tattoos than being a snake? I've seen a snake before. I've never seen a man who's like got tattoos on his eyelids. That's fucking crazy. So I guess if it was those two, I would take untattooed. But see, this is like the thing, is it's if we're talking about the extremes, I just think that one, unsurprisingly from the source, was like kind of seemed the most outdated to me. So I was like, sure, I'm sure if you asked men in like 1982, woman with a tattoo or not, a lot would probably say, I'd probably prefer untattooed. But I bet a lot of ladies would say untattooed as well, because it didn't signify the same then as it does now. Because now I think it just kind of doesn't mean much of anything. It's sort of like a college degree. You know, it's like, would you date someone who did or didn't have a college degree? And I'm like, it doesn't really matter. Because, like, so many people have them. But a lot of people still don't have them and survive, so whatever. But it was the last one that I thought was the most interesting. Because it was like debt-free. So men prefer these three qualities. And the two, I was just like, I really have no preference on those two qualities. But the last one, debt-free, I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess so. I guess if it's like, if you presented me two women who were exactly the same, one had debt and the other one did not, why would I date the person who had the debt? Now, I guess here's the problem. I guess in the article, they sort of extrapolated and said, like, this means, women, that you shouldn't go to college so you don't have student loan debt. And I was like, well, let's not go crazy. You didn't really present me that host of options of, like, would a man prefer a woman who's got, you know, $30,000 in debt but has a degree and a good career, or a woman who has no debt, no degree, and no career? You know, not that those are the only options, but I mean, that's a different question, right? That's a woman who has a lot of debt, but has the means to pay it back and is working on it and managing it, versus a woman who has no debt, but it's like, well, she has no debt because she's never done anything. I mean, But also, I was kind of like, is student loans, like, I guess I don't consider student loans to be debt in a weird way, as far as, like, I was super pumped to pay mine off and super excited about it. But I will say that, you know, most people have fucking student loans, and it's just sort of a part of life. So that doesn't concern me. I was thinking, like, massive credit card debt, right? They checked out movies from Hollywood Video, never paid it back, and it dinged their credit. And then, like, they bought a bunch of shit they didn't really need on credit cards or something. That is concerning to me. They're in a house that's, like, they moved into a house and it was underwater or whatever. Either literally or figuratively, financially speaking. That would be concerning to me. That just, like, strikes such a different chord than... Because debt, like, student loan debt, the thing is, what you've invested in is yourself. And so you're investing in yourself in hopes that in the future, this investment will return dividends, pay off, and will have been a good decision. But when we're talking about, like, credit card debt that you use to buy whatever it is people buy, a leaf blower or something... I don't fucking know what people buy on credit cards. But if it was a leaf blower that you could have, I was like, or you could have bought a rake for $9, that's problematic. Because that's not really an investment in you. That's just a thing that you bought. So anyway, but I did think it was funny because I think people were very unhappy about this thing's existence. Because it was basically like, you know, guys think that a lady should be... a perfect, untouched virgin, untattooed, debt-free, whatever. But I did also wonder, because, like, I have now seen the back end of many a survey through work and whatnot, and sometimes these surveys are so poorly designed that you're like, well, of course you got that answer. I mean, it's not the correct answer, but whatever. But also, I was kind of like, I mean, if most guys surveyed from this, you know, sort of Christian-leaning source, I mean, okay. Well, then, if you want to marry a sort of Christian guy, is any of this a surprise to you? Is there any of this that's a surprise if you're like, I'm looking for a nice Christian man to settle down with, but hopefully he likes all these tattoos. And he likes that I'm not a virgin, and he likes that I'm in debt. That was the thing, I guess, the debt thing. It's just like, who is going to prefer that someone be in debt? I mean, what scenario is it where that's preferable? And it's like, I guess it's better than that you've invested in yourself, but it's honestly like, all right, here's the same choice. You meet a woman when she's 25, you really like her, and you hit it off, you decide to get married, and it turns out she has $15,000 in student loan debt. That's scenario A. Scenario B, everything is exactly the same, except in scenario B, she scrimped and saved and worked really hard and paid off her $15,000 in student loan debt before you met her. And it's like, okay, well, all things being equal, I'll take the debt free. Why would I be like, oh, yeah, the more expensive version. That would be great. It just seems like a trick. It seems like a trick by which you could then tell people maybe you shouldn't go to college. But I don't know. If your goal in life is to marry a man, maybe you shouldn't go to college. If that's all you're looking for. College just seems like a very expensive way to meet a spouse. I mean, I think you could do... And here's the other thing. Like, if I just wanted to meet a spouse, like, let's say things were reversed and I was like, I don't want to get a degree. I want to be a house husband who stays at home and whatever. I would go to college, but I wouldn't, like, actually sign up for any classes. I would just be around at college, right? Wouldn't you just meet people that way? Can you still, like, I don't know. When I was in college, you know, it's not like, no one knew who I was. Like, any of the teachers, it was like, okay, well, he's this guy because he said so on the first day and I took attendance. But it's not like they knew who I, you know, they weren't like, show me an ID or something. Just like, I guess that's this guy. So maybe you could just like go to class and then meet people. I don't know. I don't recommend this as a course, by the way. I'm just saying, here's what I'm saying. If I had like a kid and we sent them to college and I found out male or female, because this would be, you know, 2028 or something, or 2038. And I'd be like, you went to college just to marry, just to meet someone to marry? Like, you couldn't have found a less expensive way to do that? We could have just sent you on a cruise every semester until you met somebody that you liked. What the fuck? We could have just, you know, you could have faked a bunch of conditions and gone to meet a bunch of doctors. Or, like, you know, just try and start a bunch of LLCs and meet a bunch of lawyers or something. I don't know. There's a lot of ways. Join a fucking rec softball team. That's like $40 for a semester worth of, you know, fun. At least you'd have had fun. I mean, I guess if they got the degree and everything, I'd be like, well, fuck it. I don't care. I mean, I don't think I'd particularly care if they were wasting the degree. But anyway, this whole thing got me thinking about romances. Like, romances that you could write, but that are for... Okay, so, you know, I have a coworker who is involved in the romance writers community in some various ways and so on. And, you know, like, romance novels go through phases, right? Like, right now, billionaires are very out. The sort of, like, billionaire comes along and sweeps a lady off her feet. That's kind of out for obvious political-type reasons. I think we're less... we're less interested in the fantasy of the, like, wealthy billionaire with the heart of gold or something. But, you know, there's all kinds of, like, weird things that change. And, you know, it's like, all right, let's do romances about bikers. Let's do romances about ultimate fighters. Let's do romances about this and that. And it just goes, you know, the list goes on and on. But, you know, none of them are really, like, dude-oriented or, like, realistic dude oriented. Like, I kind of want, I'm thinking about, you know, premises for dude romances, but not like, oh, because it's so macho or something like that, because I'm saying, like, this is like for me, right? This is how a lot of things come to existence, is because somebody wants something and then it doesn't exist, and they're like, eventually enough different people want this thing that doesn't exist that one of them is finally like, well, fine, I'll just fucking make it myself then. And so, like, I think that's how this kind of romance could come to be. And what I'm picturing is the me, the, like, 35-ish adult man who's not married yet but maybe would like to be, and who looks at romance from a very realistic perspective, like, very pragmatic perspective, which is, you know, I think... romance and pragmatism are traditionally not super entwined, but there you go. So, for example, like the debt-free graduate student, you know, that would be like one title, right? The debt-free woman with a PhD in communications, and you're like, wow, okay. That's pretty exciting. And then, you know, they have a romance. They do romancing on each other. Or the woman who was orphaned and is not scarred by it in any way. However, when holidays and things roll around, has no familial obligations. You're like, oh, that would be so great. You know? What else? It's like, what do you really want? You know, the woman who, honest to God, does not want to do anything for Valentine's Day. She's not really against it, but she just isn't interested in it. Period. End of discussion. That would be a good one. You know, it's like a little romance about a couple, and the lady is just really not interested in it. And it's not because she had a bad experience or whatever. She's just like, eh. It's just, you know, some people, like, how crazy people feel about Halloween. Where they're just like, eh, it's not a big deal to me. And then I'm like, are you out of your mind? Are you sure we're talking about Halloween the same thing? And, but anyway, someone for whom Valentine's is like that would be nice. you know, the woman who we were dating, and she really never had anything to complain about from work. Everything at her work was pretty copacetic and just kind of rolled along. You're like, I mean, that's a fantasy, right? This is the thing, is I'm talking about non-realistic things, but that's what romance is, right? A fantasy. And maybe some people's fantasy is about, like, a shirtless man and a shirtless lady, and they're, like, at the wheel of a pirate ship, and the waves are washing over them or something. And, you know, and obviously that's a fantasy, because it's, like, I mean, let's not even get into, like, what it would be like for a lady on a pirate ship and just be, like, this man has probably not bathed maybe in his entire life. You know what I mean? Like, he has never taken what we would consider today to be a normal-ish shower. Ever. Like, in his life, that has never occurred. Nor has it occurred to him to try. He has never seen a toothbrush in his life. Right? Like, what is that going to be like? How many people back then had, like, six-pack abs? Anybody? I mean, they only had those because they were so emaciated from being out at sea for so long that it was just like, well, you can kind of see his whole muscular structure because there's just nothing there to pad it out. So this is, he's got a six-pack, but it's not a good thing. This is the step. He's on the, like, wasting away step that comes before the bloating that comes with being so malnourished. So, you know, in as much as, like, the pirate ship fantasy is a fantasy, my scenarios are also a fantasy. I don't expect them to be real. They wouldn't come about in reality. But, you know, it's nice to just think about it once in a while, right? It's just nice to imagine sometimes, like, wouldn't it be nice if that was what happened? Nah. If that's what happened. There you go, repeating the same word. But yeah, I feel like there's a niche here to explore. You know, there's got to be something. The, you know, so-and-so and the woman he dated who never was really interested in having a baby. And just, you know, was not interested in it. Maybe even more disinterested than the guy. And it's like, all right, cool. That would be fine. The tale of the lady who, you know, they had a pretty good relationship, and whenever he was going to a concert with his drunken idiot friends and they got shit-faced, and on the way back they were, like, screaming in the car and asking her to take him through Taco Bell, and she kind of enjoyed that. The person. There you go. So these are fantasies. The woman who magically wanted to stay home and do absolutely nothing at the same times that you did. And when you were feeling more ambitious, was also feeling, basically, her level of ambition magically matched yours at all times. How about that? How about that for the fantasy? Ah. So anyway, those are the romances that I was thinking of as far as, and those were, you know, the things that I was like, I mean, more important than being a virgin is, like, you know, I don't know, like, what is her relationship with her parents like? Is it combative and weird? And, you know, sometimes they get along great and sometimes they seem to hate each other more than life itself. That's not going to turn out well for Pete. That's not going to go well. You know, and it's like, but she's a virgin. It's like, I don't care. What is her relationship with her parents like? Is it good? Is it healthy? Do they like each other for the most part? All right, that should be fine. You know, is it like when you bring up her father's name in conversation, everything shuts down and it's horrible? Well, this is not as good. Not as strong a start. I don't know. It just seems like a virgin, no tattoos and no debt was sort of like a... I mean, sure, if you're going to just pick three qualities out of a hat, whatever. But they just seem like dumb qualities to me. But, you know, I was not raised in a church environment. I was talking to somebody the other day because years and years ago, we had like an enforced Christmas decoration party where basically like our old boss called us into the library on a Sunday, you know, and usually only a few people work Sunday, basically so we don't all have to work. And we were there for like a 2-hour mandatory potluck slash library decoration party. And I feel bad for my current boss because I think that some of the ways that like the staff reacts to things like Christmas decorating is like holdover from the ill will we harbor, which, you know, was inflicted. You know, we're kind of like a dog that's been beaten by a person who looked suspiciously like her, and then she adopted us, but we're still a little skittish. And it's like, we probably need to forgive and forget on that. But anyway, it was like we were talking about that in terms of, you know, and whenever you tell people about this, you're like, we had to do this thing. Everyone's very quick to say some version of like, that's like discriminatory, isn't it? Like, shouldn't you be able to, you know, whatever? And you're like, I mean, I guess like I was fucking 22 years old, probably, maybe 21. And like I was working my first like big boy job. And I didn't exactly feel like I was in a power position, let's say. So, you know, there was a power differential. And, you know, when you're like at that level, you kind of just feel. You kind of just have to do, when you're trying to like pick up sub shifts and extra shifts and trying to get like, you're like, well, maybe a full-time job will open up and I can get that because right now I'm a part-timer. You're like, I don't want to piss my boss off, even if I'm doing something that kind of bothers me. But, you know, so like people always say too, like, oh, can you imagine? Like, what if you were Jewish or something and you didn't celebrate Christmas or Muslim or whatever? And I'm like, I mean, I am pretty atheist, and like, so that's like the same in terms of like, hey, this is like celebrating a religion I don't believe in, right? And this other person was kind of like, no, it would be so much worse if you had a different belief and this was against that belief. And I was like, well, I mean, for me, like, being atheist is a belief. Like, I believe there is nothing, and so like this is all kind of a sham to me. I mean, this is all craziness. But, you know, was insistent that this person was very insistent that no, it would be much worse if I was some other religion. And I was just like, all right, sure. Sometimes you just, do you guys just like, how often, because I've found myself doing this a lot more often, how often do you walk away from an argument by just saying like, hey, you're probably right, and then like just be done with it? It's funny because, like, it does seem when you do that, that people will kind of keep coming after you for a little bit. Like, they don't really believe that you believe what you just said, which is correct. They are correct to think that. But I've been doing it all the time lately. Like, all the time. When someone gives me the, like, you know, the combative thing that's combative for no real reason, I just kind of give them the like, hey, you're probably right, and then walk away because it doesn't matter. Like, it does not matter. You know, whenever I've been in an argument, I was thinking, we had this training for like working with people who are homeless. And, you know, the guy doing the training was kind of like, you know, when you're dealing with someone who's being difficult, like a lot of times they'll yell at you, they'll call you names, they'll say that you're being a dick, whatever. And he's like, but the thing is, you got to remember, this is not about your pride. This is not about you trying to make them feel a certain way. All you really are looking for in this situation is compliance, right? So all you really want is for the person or persons to do what you're saying, you know, to follow the guideline, to follow the rule, right? And so, like, most of the time when I'm in an argument with somebody, I'm not even really looking for them to comply to anything. all I really want, you know, like if I step back and think about it, I'm like, what do I want? And I'm like, I don't know, just to not argue about this anymore. Like, I don't really care. And I don't think I'm going to change this person's mind. So what's the difference? And then it's really easy because you're like, okay, well, it's not, I'm going to make this not about my pride or my whatever. It's about, well, if what I want, if compliance in this case is that we stop arguing about this thing, then all I have to do is stop the argument. And all I have to do to stop the argument is basically say, like, hey, you know what? You're probably right. And give him the two finger guns and walk away. I don't know. It works amazingly well. I've been surprised. It does seem like, you know, they'll try and draw you in a little more, like, because they don't buy it, like I was saying. But eventually, they just kind of give up arguing with you because it's not fun. It's, you know, it's like beating up on that kid who doesn't fight back. And it's just like, eh, it's not the same. It's not the same as beating up on this other kid who will, like, give you some shit here and there. That's what you really want. You can tell it bothers this kid. It doesn't bother Kid A, the Radiohead album. So I'm going to do it on Kid B, who gets real pissy. And I can tell it wrecks his whole day. That's what I want. All that he wants is to piss a kid off. Ugh, God. I have to drive this exact same road tomorrow to pick up Poon Master Flex. Now, I'm very excited to pick up Poon Master Flex. I'm just less excited about driving to the airport again. I've made this airport drive now. This will probably be like my 25th to 30th airport drive this year. I mean, that's a lot, right? 25 times in 6 months or something? I mean, that's, so what is that? 20, well, no, what is this? July. Let's call it August, because it's basically August. So that's like 32 weeks, right? And, make like 30. So there's basically been like an average of 2 weeks I haven't driven to the airport this year. That doesn't seem right, but it must be. It's like I'm doing it today. I think I picked up my brother another time this year or dropped him off. I've picked up Poon Master Flex like twice, maybe once or twice, once already, and then now another time. Yeah, it's just been a lot of airport for Pete this year. It's not a good thing. He's so agitated about the airport. I was reading this book by, like, I don't know, some guy. It was about how to relax, and, you know, it was kind of like meditation type stuff. And how it's like, you know, the great thing about relaxation and meditation is it's inside of you. You know what I mean? Like, this is a, think about it as a lake, and the lake is inside you, not a place you go to. So you can be there whenever you want. So, like, you can be on an airplane and just, like, relax into it and everything is fine. You know what I mean? Like, he was describing being on, he's like, I was on a bus in India and I was there with a guide and we were going to this place where they kept, like, the untouchables of, like, the lower caste and all that stuff. And he's like, this other guy was very nervous and I was like, why are you nervous? You know, everything's planned out. We're on the bus, you know, and all we have to do is kind of sit back and wait for the bus to get there. And then when we get there, our friends will be there and they'll take us where we need to go. And the guy was like, you're right, you know. And then he's like, but like 2 minutes later, he was nervous again. And part of me wonders, I'm like, I wonder how much you can train to do this and how much it's just who you are. Like, if you have that. Maybe this guy's got the lake inside him and maybe I have like a thimble inside me. Maybe there's just not much there. It's a little bit of a desert. I'm an alpine tundra out there, where he's like a growing living swamp. I don't know. It's hard to say. It was hard to read a book and then feel like, I mean, he made some good points, but at the same time, I was like, I don't feel like I'm able to do this just yet. I don't feel like I necessarily understand. I mean, I think I have always understood the basic tenets of it, or, you know, for a long time. I just don't know if that's attainable for me. I don't know how to do it. There were some good things, though. There was something about a, you know, building in time to be basically lazy and not do anything. Which I think is, like, an interesting thing. Like, you read these articles about people who take the day off from technology. You know what I mean? Like, on Saturday or Sunday, and they'll just, you know, I'm not talking about, like, the Jewish tradition. I'm talking about just people who are like, I'm going to just take a no technology day every Saturday or something.
I feel like that would be kind of annoying if you were too strict about it.
Because, you know, wouldn't you want to just be like, ah, shit, I should text this person about this. But maybe you don't. But then on the other hand, I feel like if you're not strict about it, doesn't it just, isn't it kind of just devolving into, it's like, I'm not going to use technology, but I will use Netflix. And it's like, that's what I would want to do. But I guess I don't, like, connect to other people on Netflix. I don't really see, it's not like getting on Twitter or something like that, right? Even though it's only one click away. We're all just one click away from going over the edge into the Twitter world. I don't know, like, I'm not a, I have a hard time being, like, a relaxed person. Like, for example, the other night there was, like, a really bad hailstorm. There's a crack in my windshield, but it's not terrible. But it, like, it broke one of my turn signals on my car, right? And so I was looking up online to be like, I don't know, does O'Reilly? O'Reilly! So you thought you would get away from that because this is a podcast instead of the radio, but you was wrong. You were wrong. I can just do it for free because it's in my brain. Also, that song is like, that jingle is like what I do when I'm like, I'm being really dumb right now and just singing this song with only one lyric. And that song is like, let's make a song but with only one lyric. Like, it does intentionally what I do when I'm like, I am so fucking stupid that this is like a thing that I do all the time. How dumb is that? So I was looking up on O'Reilly and stuff to see, because I was like, it would be really nice if I could get this signal replaced before we left, because if I'm going to be driving to Denver and then around Denver that day and then, like, around Denver the next day into the airport, what are my chances of not encountering a peace officer who's going to, you know, and everyone's like, I probably, you know, you probably won't get, like, a costly ticket. You'll probably get, like, a fix-it ticket, and then you just have to go to court and prove that you fixed it. And I'm like, so I just have to fucking take, like, 3 hours off my day, go there, show them that I did this thing, you know, I put in this part that cost $13 and took 5 minutes. It's like, come on, man. Anyway, but so, you know, and it was, I couldn't tell if it was in the store or not. They had to special order it. Which I didn't know if that meant, okay, so, you know, sometimes you special order a part to a parts store and it's like, it'll be here in about an hour. And you're like, that's amazing. How does this world even work? Or they're like, we have to order that from China. And so maybe it'll show up eventually. So anyway, I was like, all right, I'm going to order it on Amazon and then cancel it once if I can see, you know, if I can get this other one. And like, so then, you know, I was like, all right, I'll just call them in the morning and see what happens. But then it's like, once I'm done with that, it's hard for me to close the loop and just relax. And just sort of be like, you know, you've done what you can do, and now it's out of your hands. Like, that's the part I don't like. I want to just have the fucking thing and fix it. Now, at 1 a.m. Not tomorrow. You know, I don't want to wait to find out if I can get this thing. It's like, I want to know what the situation is going to be, and it's hard for my mind to rest until I know. I want to know, like, am I going to have to drive with this thing broken and just sort of get used to that idea, or am I going to have to fix it tomorrow, or am I going to have to, like, I don't know, call early and, like, drive somewhere else, or what am I going to have to do? And when I don't know, it's hard for me to rest, even though in my mind I'm sort of like, you've done everything that you can at this point. Like, it's very much out of your hands. And you just have to wait. That's hard for me to do. Waiting's the hardest part, as I'm told. Who is that, Tom Petty? So petty of you. I But yeah, so I'm just not like a something like that, you know, and it's not like a huge problem, but it just makes it difficult for me to relax into just like, eh, whatever mode. It makes me feel anxietous. That a word? It's not a word, but I don't care. That's not really, it's never a good question of, is that a word? Because the real question is, do I care if that's a word enough to say something else instead? And the answer in Peter's case is almost always no. Do I care enough to say something else? No, I don't. So there you go. I guess we're stuck with anxietous. Figure out how to live with it. Instead of wasting your time figuring out if this is a word or not, figure out if you can fucking deal with it. How about that? We were talking about this show a little bit at dinner last night. I'm talking about job interview questions. You know, because how silly some of them are and how weird they are. Like, you know, the what kind of tree would you be? Or someone was like, yeah, at my place we ask if you were a fruit, what kind of fruit would you be? And it's just like, I hate those questions so much. Like, I just hate them. It makes me angry that people insist on doing that. Because it's like, why? And I know you want me to tell you something that you want to hear. You know, like, what's the best version of... You know, every job interview, every single one asks a version of the question of, so what is, like, the biggest reason we should not hire you? You know, what's your weakness? I mean, it's like the classic thing where it's like, what's your weakness? I work too hard. And it's like, all right, that's dumb. But it is, like, it's totally true. I mean, people... They ask that fucking question, and I feel like even you ask that question, how mad can you be at people for lying to you? Because it's like, what's my worst quality? And it's like, I don't know. I'm not going to tell people, like, oh, I get super obsessed and interested in something. But then, you know, if it's once I sort of master it on some level, oftentimes I immediately am bored by it after that. Or, you know. I have a very short span from finding something super interesting and engaging to being supremely bored by it. And when I'm supremely bored by things, I really don't want to do them. I'd rather do nothing than something boring, which is, that's probably my worst quality. And so a lot of work is really me forcing myself through. Now, here's why you should see this as a good quality, is I have a tremendous capacity for forcing myself through activities that I do not want to do. Which is basically the core essence of what work is. If I was to, in a short sentence, answer the question asked by Philip Levine's poetry collection, What Work Is, I would be like, forcing yourself through things that you don't really want to do, at a reasonable pace. That seems like most of it, right? And then doing that over and over. Over and over and over. This motherfucker went to go shooting past on the right, and then a tow truck was, you know. Anyway. There was a sweet moment of road justice that just happened. And I did not have to create the moment. It just happened on its own. And it was delicious. I enjoyed it a lot. I think it's like this douche in like a, you know, not a Porsche, but a fake Porsche. Not like a real cool car. Oh, he's in a Tesla. Look at him. Driving fast as shit. Anyway. Those type of questions, like the ones about what kind of tree would you be, are dumb, and I don't like them. And I know people defend them because they're like, you know, you want to just see how the person thinks and whatever. But I'm sort of like, I mean, is this like part of my job to think on my feet about like a bizarre question someone has asked me? And I'm very tempted in future interviews if I'm asked a question like that to be like, I don't really prefer to answer that kind of question. If it's really important to me or important to you that I answer that in a serious way, then I could think about it and come up with something. But to be honest with you, I don't feel like a tree at all. There's nothing about me that feels like a tree. So I can't... I cannot possibly relate. And, you know, I couldn't... I don't think a tree has intention, like, as far as... I don't think a tree possesses certain qualities out of intentionality. I think a tree just is what it is. I think, like, to believe I'd be a kind of tree is sort of confusing things that are assigned to me at birth and then things that I feel and think are important. And it's important to me that I not confuse those different things. So therefore, I cannot answer that question. It's basically against my... Let's not call it a religion, but it's against my views to even consider answering that question is kind of a slap in the face when you get right down to it. And I don't think you want to slap me in the face, do you? So there you go. That's, I guess, how you could answer that question and not get the job. Or you could just be like, I call myself a palm tree because I think I sort of end up standing in as a representation of the workplace really well, sort of the way a palm tree stands in for the representation of, like, a certain climate and, you know, comes to embody the whole thing. And also, you know, it's a palm tree, and I always like to lend a helping hand. There you go. And that's, like, so cheesy and shitty. Like, I would never hire that person because I'd be like, oh, my God, this person is, like, a sociopath or something. But, that's, like, the kind of answer you have to give, right? But, yeah, it's just, it's like, they ask a lot of questions that turn you around and try, they just seem to be trying to, like, confuse and disorient. What's the goal of this job interview? Mostly confuse and disorient, to be honest. That's what we're shooting for in this interview. Like, how could we maybe make this person not really understand what we're doing? I want to see how they think on off their feet. And I'm like, really? Because why don't you just, like, I mean, when they're here, you're going to train them and stuff, right? They're not going to be thinking on their feet a whole lot or, like, thinking in a wildly unusual situation. Like, aren't they mostly going to be thinking in a usual situation? At my work, they're doing, like, some focus groups because they're, you know, working on a new strategic plan and whatnot. And, you know, we were talking about some of the questions to anticipate from the focus group. And, like, you know, there are questions like, because my boss was like, look, don't expect questions that are, like, super specific to your positions or anything like that or, like, internal policies. She's like, it's like they're asking questions that are like, what is it that keeps you up at night? You know, because they want to ask the community these questions so that they can maybe get them thinking outside of the library sort of parameters. And so we can actually figure out what people need so we might be able to help them, right? But, you know, I was just like, oh, my God, that is so much worse if they're going to ask me that than if they would have just asked me, you know, what do you think the library should do? So I'm like, what keeps me up at night? I fucking literally everything that has happened during the previous day and may happen the following day. Like anything that falls into either of those categories or sometimes both will keep me up at night for sure. Or, you know, it's like, listen, the life of anxiety is a life where you can be denied sleep by anything. I mean, I won't sleep because I'm excited about something. You know what I mean? And you're like, I get ramped up, I'm excited about something, and then I can't sleep. Or I'm nervous about something. Or I'm not even really, like, nervous about something. I just sort of am constantly thinking about a thing, even though it's all worked out, everything is set, and the worst case scenario of it going badly, you know, where it's like, what if this was a train wreck? What does that look like? And it's like, okay, a train wreck for me at work is probably, I'm like at a school assembly and I drop an F-bomb in front of the entire school. And I'm like, that would be pretty bad. I don't know if I'd lose my job. I guess it would depend how accidental it seemed. But anyway, I'm just sort of like, I mean, What a story to tell later. Huh, what a story. Right? I mean, when you tell someone a story, that is the kind of story that, like, you reverse engineer once you become, you know, like a stand-up comic is, like, always telling a story like that. Oh, I used to work in this job, and this really funny thing happened, and whatever. And I'm like, I wonder how many people have a story like that. But, you know, it never turned into anything, and they were just like, yeah, and then I just stayed at my job. Or like, yeah, and then I had basically the same job, but, you know, a different place. Or like, eh, no one made a big thing out of it. They were like, I don't know, sometimes people drop an F-bomb, it's a thing. Welcome to the world, I guess. All right, well, that's it. I'm basically home. I mean, when I say basically, I'm like one turn away from the parking lot. So thanks for taking a ride with me. If you want to go take a ride with me, take a ride with me, and let's ride. Oh, why won't you take rides with me? Hey, let's take a ride. I'll see you next time. There was somebody I was talking to who was shocked that I had, not shocked, but did not know that I had a Patreon to which you can donate. So, you know, if you're interested in that, do that. I think it's linked on my regular website. And, you know, you can search it on Patreon. It's like, I feel like the day of me telling you the URL is like patreon.com/helpfulsnowman. I mean, that might be it. I have no idea. But like the day of me needing to do that is probably over, right? You get a bonus episode every month. And so far I've done that with 100% success. I think one episode, and now it's been a year and a half. One episode was probably a week or two late. There's like newsletters. There's good shit. If you like this shit, there's more shit. And the amounts are low. It's like a couple bucks a month for an extra episode. So if you are interested in that, there you go. There's my pitch for that. Just a reminder, just in case somehow there's someone new listening to this. I don't know why that would be, but if that's the case, go there. Give me a few bucks. Give me a few bucks for a couple months. And then just sort of undo your patronage and who knows, I'll probably forget and just send you stuff anyway for like 3 months. You'll probably pay for 2 months and get a good 5 months out of it. All right, that's all.